Hi, welcome to the Havila Podcast. I'm so excited that you're here. And we have been doing this amazing series. I say amazing because I'm not the one that's doing all the work on the art of adult friendships. And we have found that, gosh, just because we're adults doesn't make friendship easy. And then how do we navigate building deep friendships and even somewhat of a core group or small group or support group? How do you grow that? And so we have had the conversation. If you missed last time, you can go back and watch the first segment because we talked about the heart of it. But today we are jumping into the practice, and all my admin people go, thank you, Jesus, because I need to know what you're talking about. You know, what do you wear? What do you eat? What do you drive? So we're going to get into the practice of our core group, which has been about 11 years. I've only been apart for maybe 9, and Caitlin's been apart for what, 7?
Six.
So again, it has rotated. There are different women that have come in, but we are not the OGs. Michelle, didn't start with you?
Along with Sarah Larson, Lauren, Jenna, and we were a part of the original OG.
Yes. So how did it begin? Give us some practice for those that are watching.
Okay. Well, in part one, we talked about how there was just a blaring need when we were young moms to get in relationship with people who were seasonally in the same group as we were. So what that looked like was a few of us invited a couple of friends, a few others invited a few more, and we landed with a group of 8 moms. And we said, okay, we're going to not just be like, okay, we're married for life. Go.
We needed to date first.
We did something different, which looking back, I'm like, that was a good idea.
That was smart.
So here's what it looked like. We took 8 moms and we said, okay, 8 moms, 8 stories, 8 homes, 8 weeks. And so what that meant is that for the 8 weeks, this was over a summer, we were going to have 8 consecutive meetings. And at each meeting, one person was going to share their story, their life story. We're talking like wedding photos. We're like, this is my family. Again, we weren't best friends. We were just kind of gathering together to do a summer small group. Looking back, that's kind of what it was. And so we took turns hosting, sharing our stories, and over the summer got to know this group of women. And then we took a pause. And a few weeks, maybe a couple months later, we kind of picked up that text thread again and said, who wants to do this more consistently? And that format ended up being an every other Wednesday night where we would meet together. Usually after we'd gotten our babies to sleep, we would meet at someone's house, taking turns hosting. And then that was where this small group launched out of. That's how it started.
Yeah. We did ask for like a level of commitment. So that kind of naturally, some people, whether they had the capacity or were afraid of that level of commitment, that kind of naturally weeded out people. And then if the summer didn't go quite well, it actually kind of worked out well where the ones that maybe didn't feel like they would be a good fit didn't want to keep going.
I want to make sure I get that clear. So you said we asked for a certain level of commitment. So the 8 weeks weeded out people that were just not going to be able to do a lot.
And some of it was just schedules. Like they were totally like, wow, I just have too much going on. So would love to do this, but my season's too full.
So what was the commitment that you asked?
We asked to prioritize getting there twice a month. So like we said before, like get a babysitter. That means you're going to have to leave your husband. That's probably going to be uncomfortable. Like if you're leaving for a trip in 2 days, like still come. It's like not the shuffle, because it's like if we're all in and someone only has one foot in, it's awkward. And then it can be dissent. And then like it just doesn't actually work for the vulnerability we wanted.
Because as much as it's a very gradual trust building, it is every time you meet together, you're going deeper. And you want to be doing that together.
The consistency was really important in the beginning when we didn't have the history of friendship with each other. You need consistency in order to build the foundation of trust that you need in order to have like real long-lasting friendship, I think. And so we got a bit serious about that commitment level at first, just with like, I remember even being like, tired isn't a reason not to come. Like on a we're all tired on Wednesday night. Like
who's not tired on Wednesday night?
I would actually say too, I was a little afraid of the commitment. What I realized the narrative I believed is like,
wait, Jenna, you were afraid of commitment?
No one's surprised. I'm the 7th. So I'm like, too much trapping. I realized that like, I felt like maybe that potential of being trapped by the structure. But what I realized is actually it's going to support the depth that I want. So it was essential. And I think a lot of us, when we're little, all of our like childhood best friends were organic. So then when we're adult and we have to be more intentional to cultivate it, it almost feels like it's counterintuitive. Like, oh, I want it to just happen. I hear that all the time. I just want it to happen. They want this organicness. Like that proves whether or not you're going to be compatible as a friend. I'm like, oh, actually, you can cultivate and get the results you're looking for. So I think I had to switch gears to like, this is a trapping. This is cultivation. And if I want like what I need, like I'm going to have to cultivate.
Yeah. One thing that comes to my mind about like practicals is I think that the number of people in a group matters depending on what the format you want. So like if you're going to do a Bible study, then you probably need to have a leader, and then you can have as many people in the Bible study as you want. But if your format is like ours has been, which is we get together every other week, and actually we really love to have at least 5 to 10 minutes for each person to give a good update of what has been a high or a low of your last 2 weeks since we've been together, then you shouldn't have more people in the group than you can get through in that one night. Does that make sense?
Totally.
So I think that's that changed a little bit over time. Like I would say 8 would probably be too much because sometimes we have a hard time just getting through it with us. And so,
but you do have an attrition rate, especially with sickness. So if you have 8, you're probably more likely to get 6.
That's true.
And you really need at least 4 in the room to really feel like it's, at least in my opinion, like to have this kind of variety.
Yeah.
But my question would be about that. First of all, the commitment, how long was that? And then when did you make it a closed group? Because it is closed.
Yeah. It was closed from that start of like, okay, to the group that did the 8 weeks together, we took a break and then kind of invited people to commit on that deeper level. And we did it for the school year is what I remember.
And then we did it one school year off because of the expectation. Oh, wait, like, I think that's one thing is you want to feel successful. So that's why some of the smaller time frames work to be like, hey, we get to reassess. And then we can reassess. Now we're past the reassessing point. You guys are married to me.
You can't go anywhere.
I love that she's the one.
I know. Like, okay. We got it, guys.
We're way past the point of opting out. At this point, it's almost
just come
like
to my house.
If somebody needs something new or different, then we're all going to have to move as a square fish into that new thing. Because like you just can't get out.
Which you guys did for me.
We did.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it was Wednesday nights for how many years? And
now, like 10 years.
Yeah.
And now we've switched.
We really loved you.
I know.
You didn't leave me. Okay, so let's talk about practice. So we usually start around 7:30 because usually, I mean, 7, we want to do 7, but a lot of times kids are going to bed.
Yes.
And we know that little 30 minutes is cleaning up dinner, getting the kids. Now, again, we live in a small town. So a lot of people that live, you know, in another, you know, a bigger city, it does take time. And so you may work that out and go, actually, we do dinner every other week together because we live in the city or it's easier for us to do that. So we get that. But then usually we send out a little list of who's going to host, and then whoever hosts is kind of in charge of that night, right-ish. Mm-hmm. So maybe explain what we do during that time, or like how do we host that and how do we organize?
Mm-hmm. I would say practical-wise, we at first, I feel like at the beginning, we'd make it like a Pinterest-level hosting, but realizing for longevity, that wasn't feasible.
Yeah, years ago.
So we care more about like, hey, here's a couple snacks. Literally, Shell's like, I found some crackers and cheese. Does anyone have salami? And you're like, I'll bring the salami. Yes. So this isn't like a trying to impress or entertain or what's the word?
Cultivate. Curate.
This is not curate. This is like life on life friendship. So lower stakes made it easy to be consistent.
Yeah.
It's every quarter that we actually plan out. So in 3 month chunks, we realize that we can sign up to host with a kind of a good idea what our schedule is going to be. I think we've actually had to morph a bit of like 7:30 is feeling a little too late for us. So we're kind of in a transition period as we film this of like alternating between one night. Like, so if we meet twice a month, one night meeting and then one morning walk because all of our schedules have kind of shifted. So I think seasonally, like if we have different needs and we're shifting, we'll throw it out there like, hey, this isn't working super well for me. I'm not going to make everyone change. But is anyone else feeling these pain points? Like those conversations have happened quite a few times logistically.
So we don't feed everybody, but we do have a drink and a snack for the mom that didn't get to eat and just is kind of showing up. And then another thing we do, at least I like, is I had to intentionally show up in my pajamas.
Yes.
And I did it because everywhere I was going, and part of my church mind was I'm coming to lead or I'm coming to participate. And so, there was something about coming in my pajamas and being really low key that allowed me to feel like I was going to a slumber party rather than a church. So for me, that was important. Again,
throw blankets,
fire pits.
I feel like, Kate, you've shown up in slippers multiple times. I remember the transition half because I literally was like, do you really wear pants till like 11 p.m.? Like, I take my pants off when I get home and I put my sweats on immediately. I'm like, did you put those back on? She's like, no, I keep them on. I'm like, oh, wow. But something about it, it does. It's just like disarming. Lets you, it's disarming. It's, there's no facade. I'm just coming as it is and knowing that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. And then we get in a jacuzzi together.
Yes.
We've done that too. Yeah.
And then pulling us back into kind of we meet and then what?
Yes.
I would say often we're doing high, low updates. So that's sharing like a high of the last 2 weeks and then a low. And then also
I just got to throw this challenge out there. If you're like, okay, I want to do this. I really want to do this. I dare you, whoever you are, whether you're a participant or going to lead this group, to go far more vulnerable than you would feel like was a great idea. Mm-hmm. Because if you go ahead and just do it, you guys, we all want to do it. Mm-hmm. We all so desperately want to be known and loved, even in our imperfections. Mm-hmm. And so if you could just take the lead in that moment to share the thing that you would just most truly love to be known in, even though you don't have it together, mm-hmm. everyone else is going to follow suit. Yeah. It's like you're setting
the watermark.
This is what we're going to do. So you'll just probably you'll probably do that for a while, and it'll start to set mm-hmm. the standard for what your group becomes. And it can just fast ramp you onto what you're really looking for.
And
relationally,
girls are going to be better at that. Like, well, I sure. tend to wait because mm-hmm. I know, like, if Lauren starts, we're going to be fine. Like, she's going to get there, and she is processed and she's able to process. Jenna and I take a minute. We need to kind of listen. Mm-hmm. But I do think mm-hmm. that is so. What one of the things that I think can be a roadblock is, if I'm vulnerable, how does it not turn into a griping session about my spouse or being a mom or whatever? And we've done really, I feel like there's good parameters around that, but I don't necessarily think we've talked about that. Although we do really honor our relationships, and it's not like, divulging. So I don't know how we've done that. Maybe you have more insight than I do, but
I was gonna say, I think we all have seen the fruit. If it's just a bash your spouse fest, there's no fruit that comes out of it. But so actually helping own what you can control, like you said, radical ownership from the last one, be like, oh, what's mm-hmm. happening in Caitlin that hurts so much mm-hmm. versus like talking about how Cole is failing. And honestly, on some level, like even for deep friendship, I've heard a few of us say it, like, we like to have people in our inner circle who like their marriages. Because if iron sharpens iron, I want to know like what you guys are doing and working. Because I've picked up something from all of you differently that you do marriage. So I'm like, that's what I'm looking for as well.
Mm-hmm. Really well said. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly. Okay, so I'm going to say this and then I'm going to maybe invite you to like help me add to it. But one thing that I know is true is that the measure of your internal health and relational health is the measure to, like, you'll attract that kind of person into your, it is hard to be in long-term sustained deep friendship when you don't have a similar internal world when it comes to, like, how good are you at taking ownership? How good are you at taking feedback? Do you like your marriage? And when marriage gets hard, are you going to do something about it? Or, you know, cycles, people that are in like long cycles of the same thing being hard forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I think that like attracts like to some degree. And one thing that I would say on that is, like, if you're starting a small group and you actually are in a really rough marriage and you mm-hmm. don't love your spouse, mm-hmm. great, no problem. But what kind of standards are you going to set in your group so that you make sure that everybody's rising to the standard instead of staying in mm-hmm. the unhealth or the dissatisfaction or the pain? And I think there's a lot to be said for, like, none of us are going to live lives that we're just nailing all the time in every area. And we're like, we don't ever need to get called out on our stuff. No, that's not true at all. But I would say that, like, somebody would have a really hard time being in our group for a lot of years if they weren't willing to get radically mm-hmm. authentic and then take tons of ownership to grow in an area of their life where there's a lot of weakness. Does that make sense? Like, would you say that's true?
Yeah, I think that goes to, hey, are you going to go to your counselor? I mean, there is a point when, like, I think you were in a season
I'm
when
pretty sure
was
we
like,
all have.
We all have. Yeah, we have counselors. We probably have the same one.
But I remember there was a time where there were some that didn't. And so being able to watch and be like, oh, wow, mm-hmm. look at that moment where it was a struggle to think, oh, am I going to get to that point? And then you've actually walked through it with counseling. You're like, it feels like you're part of the success. You're like, I watched you do that. Good job.
Work together. Yeah. But I do think your core group isn't your therapist. Right. I think that that's really important because the pressure, then the person who's in, you can be in crisis, but if the person is now, we're on month 12, it really is they're treating core group like their therapy. And I think that's an inappropriate time. For everybody, it's really not preferring each other. It doesn't mean that your crisis isn't real, but you have to have enough for you to say, it's not mean for you to say, hey, it sounds like you're in more pain than we can get through this week. Yes. I recommend that you go talk to somebody. Yeah. We want to hear what you're processing, but we can't take you through this. Mm-hmm. There's so much here that we value and we love you and we believe that health looks like. So I think if any of us were at that place, we would just, you, no one can hijack it. I think there could be hijacking if you're not careful. Another thing that we do is we don't respond. This is another really challenging thing for me. I mean, I have lots of challenging things, but you would share like Kate would share about something really painful and I'd be like, okay, what feedback are we getting? Or like, we've so much to share. Yeah, like literally I'm like, what books are you recommending? I mean, I was in that leader fast track and you guys would just sit and be like, and Michelle would be like, that sounds really painful. And I'd be like, and? Like,
when are we going to pass
like, what are we doing? Like, yeah, like, when are we? And that's something that has really taken, I mean, even to this day, I have to bite my tongue. Like, this is not a time to give feedback. But it's, and again, sometimes I do because it is. But how do you know the difference? And how did we not turn it into, I share my problem and everybody gives me their solution?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
That's so, I think for me, I wanted to be known. And for me, being known means I feel safe. There's a witness, you care, there's empathy. What I'm not looking for is you to solve me. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't, I feel like I don't want to be feel like a problem to be solved, nor like you were just talking about like the sucking and like there's a need greater than what we can give. It's like both. Like I don't want to be solved, but then I also don't want you to feel like I'm expecting you to solve me. Mm-hmm. So just being with me and carried and known, like it's crazy how much they call it co-regulation. Simply sharing the pain you're going through helps your nervous system regulate in a way. And it's crazy because if you do it by yourself, there's like, I read this brain science study article once. I threw so many words in there. The best analogy is if you like try to process, which they call it, like self-regulate on your own, something that's super painful. It's like the equivalent of the gas mileage that an 18-wheeler gets. But if you do it with someone, it's like the gas mileage of a Prius. Literally, it uses less calories. Like, so to me, I'm like, this points to God's design for us to process pain in community. Like, we are actually, it takes less chemical or less energy for us to do it with people. So if my goal is to just process, to feel with and feel your empathy and compassion, that's it. So I don't expect you to solve me, nor do I want you to solve me.
Yeah. And so that internal narrative when you pull up is, I'm not here to solve anyone's problems. So if you're a problem solver and you overfunction, that's your internal narrative. I'm not here to solve problems. And those that are have a hard time sharing, I'm not a problem to be solved.
Yeah.
That's an internal narrative. I'm not a problem. I'm a person to be known. I'm not a problem to be solved, right?
Yeah.
So those internal narratives that when you pull up the car and you sit for a minute,
it's really good.
It's really getting your head around it. Or you'll just come in and you'll just accidentally you know, get in that mode.
I remember something that I would want to suggest. We did this for a long time when the like newer iteration of the group was fresh, right? Like when, so when Havila was newer, when Kate was newer, the host would actually come up with like a question.
Oh,
so
yeah.
What we discovered was that when people are new, they don't always know how to dive into like the freely share. Like how can I just ad lib and freely share something meaningful? And so for a while, the host would be responsible to come up with like one or two questions that everybody would answer. Because it's sometimes easier when you don't know each other super, super well to like get focused on like a prompt almost of conversation.
And time. Can you talk about the time limit?
Yes.
Because I feel like time that's limit. Something people don't understand.
A lot of, and again, more like in the beginning when you're creating structure within your group is we would use a timer. So like we would gather, have some snacks, a little small talk, sit down, and then look at the time we have left and divide it up with some buffer minutes in there and actually set timers for, okay, Kate, it's your turn. Here's your 7 minutes. And the moment the timer goes off, the idea is we're done.
But we're girls, so we like let each other keep going.
It comes at this awareness in every group, which I feel like I've heard so many times. People are afraid to get in groups because of the overshare. Or like you being undershare. I think in every group, there's someone who would overshare and take more of their piece of the pie and someone who would compensate, which would be Michelle, and take less of a piece, but then not feel known. So I think like it feels awkward and a bit mechanical, but it's, I care enough about Caitlin getting as much time and equal part to share and be known as I have. Yeah. Therefore, like respecting that, I think it just helps. Like this isn't rigid. This is actually love with a few practicalities with
it. And not everyone's like you. And I feel like there's a lot of people who are like, it's fine. We'll know when to leave. It's like, no. Parameters allow people to feel safe.
Yeah,
and so your lack of needing that doesn't mean that everybody else. And so it is, you are part of a group. It's not about you. You know, it's not about how you kill it in that area. It's like, no, I'm a different person. And so I may know the 7 minute loop, but I want to make sure everyone gets that. Let's jump into an idea. So we do this, we take breaks sometimes. I mean, last May we were like, we need a May break. But we do. Caitlin, I want you to talk about our getaways because we do get away together.
Yeah, we schedule a getaway, which is the best because I feel like you get to go really deep. You don't have to set a timer.
I'm giving it to you because you love getaways.
Yes.
You're right.
And we do like adventure. We've done adventure ones. We've also done like really slow get away at a cabin and just rest together. And then we even got to go to Austin, Texas together on Habs ministry trip, but we like made the most of it.
Yeah.
So I think it's just so fun because we've traveled, we've biked the Golden Gate Bridge together.
I think we're averaging like every other year. As I'm counting my head, I think we've done 5 or 6. Mm-hmm. But I think because we're so busy, but the idea of like it's worth prioritizing mm-hmm. and it's gonna cost you, get it on the calendar because the length of time.
And we don't do days and days. Like I want people to understand we're not taking trips to Mexico and spending like it's sometimes like we don't have any money and any time. But could be at least. Yes, yes, okay. Amen. But like we might leave on an afternoon, like this last trip, we did a Sunday afternoon. Our husband stayed with the kids. Obviously, it's Sunday night, put the kids at school. We stayed all day Monday and we're home for dinner on Monday night. So it's not like this dramatic, we have to go away and have this girl moment. It is sometimes like the practical. It's important. Yeah, that we don't want to, the high stakes. And I think that's important, the high stakes part. So let's talk about how do we add people and how do we exit people?
Okay. No, I'm kidding. I'm like, I don't know how you added me. I actually, for months, maybe even like 6 months to a year, my husband and I were convinced that they accidentally added me because the text message, she spelled Kate wrong. She spelled it the way the other Kate was. So I'm like, oh my gosh, what if she tried to invite the other Kate but accidentally sent it to me while I'm in? Now Cole's like, take advantage of it.
Yeah, that's what we're meeting today. Yeah. Like, I know for me, like I'd asked, again, I came from a church culture where it's like open door policy. Anybody wants to come, don't be exclusive. But when this group was happening, I had a friend that was a part, Danielle, that loved it. And I was like, oh, there's something really special about the rhythm and all that. And then I asked, are they adding people? And she's like, no. So we left it alone. And then I would say probably a year later, I decided I need a core group. So I'm like, I'm either going to start one or, you know, that's probably what I'm going to do. So I had two girls I was having a conversation with. And then Danielle said, hey, they actually are open to you joining if you'd like to. And I had this dilemma. And I think everyone who's a leader or a business owner or somebody in your life, this dilemma of if I lead it, I should lead because that's what healthy people do. But I really need to not lead. And I had to make a decision. And it was so awkward for me internally because I thought I'm going to disappoint these other women who are amazing. But I made a choice to go, I actually need this for my soul. It's not so much about what I'm putting out, but what I'm getting. So it took me a while, but then it hasn't been open. And have you guys gotten,
Going to talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about
that. And feedback about it being closed, like certain like feelings hurt. And we processed it for a while because like, oh, my heart would never to be exclusive, clicky, like all those words. But on the flip side, at one point I remember like talking with the Lord, I'm like, how do I like navigate this? And he's like, you're protecting a culture and a history that like is worth protecting, just kind of like Ivy League's, like there's something that they're known for it, and that's okay. But for what I've done to compensate is like I have other areas of my life that are totally open. So I do not live exclusively,
right?
Even this group isn't an open invite. So I'm like, okay, you're not invited there, but you're totally invited here. And I'm like, that's how Jesus lived too. Yeah. He had a group that knew him and he was working out the details. And then he had a spot. There was another spot. So I'm like, okay, you're not there's not an openness here, but you're totally opened to this part of my life.
Yeah.
What would you guys say again?
Until Caitlin joined, there was somebody that moved away and left the group almost every year. Mm-hmm. So in the earlier years of small group, there was more of a little bit of a transition and kind of like a life cycle. It just, people moved away and then we would decide like, do we need to add another one or is 6 good or whatever? Mm-hmm. And so there was some adding and we've never had to like excuse someone. Yeah. It's always just been kind of like a natural life cycle changes.
Yes.
And then I would say, because this group has been just what it is for the last 6 years, we've gotten to a point where there's so much history and so much depth, and we've all got great relationships outside of this group that either do or don't overlap with each other. And so there's no need to add anybody anymore almost. And a benefit of being together for so long is that all of our spouses are friends now. And
which took a while.
It takes a long time. And so I think that what we have done is really championed other people in our city, like in our community, to start groups of their own. Mm-hmm. And not, because for a while, I remember we were kind of like the only organic, as in not a part of the church core group structure. We were the only group of people that had created like a semi-exclusive small group. And people were kind of like, what are you doing in there?
And are you allowed to do that?
Can you do that? And like, can I come in? And we had to kind of be like, no, we're not really adding anybody at this point. We're kind of just experimenting almost with just going really deep with a small group of people, but you should totally do it because we're seeing great fruit, you know, like kind of like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Michelle, how for you? Because you're inclusive. How has it been for you?
I feel like this is so rich. This is so good. And it's, again, it's seasonally where you are within the group that has more openness or more like, no, we're set. So it depends.
Like early years, more open.
Yes.
Later
it becomes a little different. Yeah. So I would say, if you're hearing this and you're like, okay, I'm ready. Let's do it. Can I just give some, like, this is what I would love for you to do.
Yes.
Number one, I think things done together are better. So I would find a buddy to do it with. Mm-hmm. I would find a friend, a sister, someone at church that you could do this with. Because like Lauren said, at the beginning, especially, you're experimenting. You're figuring it out with people. Yeah. So I'd find a buddy, I would link arms, and I would invite in a group of people. And I would not overthink it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be perfect. Yeah. You don't have to relate to every area of my life.
Mm-hmm.
When we invite this group of people in, I'm not saying I am going to be your friend forever. Sign on the dotted line. If it's like that, it's just too high stakes.
Yeah.
You are just getting to know a group of people. Your heart may be that you find the ones you're going to land with in 15, 20 years. And I want that for you. But right now, just get started. Yeah. Just link arms with somebody and you guys create what would feel like a fun group to do this with. And just try it out. Set 8 weeks out. Maybe choose eight. Get eight people. Get six people.
I love that.
Get that amount of weeks. You're going to all sign up for a date to host so you don't have to have your house clean consecutively. Like, don't do that. Take turns and then try this format we're talking about.
Yeah.
And if this doesn't work for you, try a different format. Mm-hmm. If you're like, you know what sounds better at the beginning is if a book could lead us through and like we could read a book together, do it.
Yeah.
If you would rather have like, let's do an adventure every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Do it. Just start that, getting that repetition in, get the reps in, get the consistency, and then take a pause and then see what that felt like. Was that full of life? Is this the right group of people? Yeah. Do I find that the person I linked arms with wants to do this as much as I do?
Yeah.
You can ask all the questions, but I think the thing is just go ahead and take the initiative. Mm-hmm. And there's one more thing I would add. I remember being about 12 years old, going to youth group, and we were at a new church. And I remember sliding open the door of the minivan and my dad looking over the back, his front seat and saying to me, remember, there's someone in there that needs a friend more than you do. Look for that person. Wow. And that's the lens I would stir you to look for. Like that's why I'm like, look through the lens of who needs a friend like me.
Yeah.
And if you have a lens that's like, they have friends, I want them. No. You're looking for the ones that need a friend like you.
Yeah.
And they're going to be so grateful for the invitation. Mm-hmm. So use the initiative, get the tenacity, and just say, we can do this.
And love that.
And you can do it.
It's, I don't know, this is like a segue of what you're saying, but Dr. John Delaney is on YouTube, and he had this great idea, which was when a man, if you're married to a man, and obviously you're having an intimate relationship, if he wants to be intimate with you, if he puts the I need it from you, we as women, we go to the hormone of motherhood. And so we can tend to feel like we're avoiding it or like, it's another need. It's a checklist. But if he puts desire, then that hormone gets released and we are more prone to show up. Mm-hmm. So I would even go towards friendship. If you are putting out the energy of, I want to be included and I want to be with them, that energy actually excludes you from having the openness to find. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about that kind of energy that says, I'm a great person and I'm a great friend and I would like to find more friends that need friends like me. Mm-hmm. That's a confident rather than I'm looking for a place to be included because that'll mess you up. And then all you're doing is fighting to be included rather than if you're including, you actually are in the control seat. It's simply by saying I'm inclusive. The Bible says he who wants five friends must show himself friendly. So it's biblical as well. Mm-hmm. I want to say one other thing, some practical things we do. So we don't like, okay, Jenish or something. How do we actually close the loop of the conversation within the week without us having to get together? So those are some things that we do.
Yeah. We always, I would say like 10 out of 10 times, and it's not like it's legalistic. It just happens organically. But we always follows up with a voice memo because practically, like we're not going to probably get another window. Like we try all the time to do coffees. I would say they work 5 out of 10 times of the times we approach. Well, we don't take that as feedback or rejection. We actually realize there's other factors versus like my identity or worth is on the line. I think that's a big deal when you're doing this to take rejection out of it. So then what we've decided, like, oh, it's actually worth using a different, less idealistic means to communicate, which would be, I would say, voice memo. We voice memo often. We'll voice, like, if we miss, if we go through a busy season like December, we maybe don't get to catch up. We'll send a voice memo update that no one asked for. I think that's part of the bravery. Yeah, it's like, I actually trust and know you enough that you want to hear this, that I'm going to give you an update what I needed versus waiting for someone to reach out. Like, they knew this was happening. Why did they reach out? Like, oh, I'm actually going to be the one to reach out. Yeah. So I think practically, like, text, voice memos, do what you have. Like, whatever's in your hand, use it to build the friendships.
Love we that. Also do, like, if in a really busy season, if not all of us can find a time to get together, if three of us can, we do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that is a helpful way to keep momentum, even in a busy time.
And you'll send a text that says, hey, we missed you. Can you send us a quick 2-minute update on your world? Yeah. So that way, you're Marco Polo too, right?
Yes. I like Marco Polo when we're like super distant. We've never actually nailed that.
No, nope.
It works.
But you have too many apps. That's too many apps. And another thing is, if it's a voice memo, we will say this is for adults only. So if the kids are in the car, because you might press play and then all of a sudden someone's talking about an issue and you're like, oh, and so a little bit of that. We also, I tend to not just play it around my husband unless I know it's like safe. Not because, you know, I don't trust the girls, but I think that what we share, it is kind of a confidential moment.
Yeah.
And so when I share, I know that it's not being played in front of their kids and their husband and their friends. Yes. But this is a private. Yeah. And then often it's like, I just miss you guys. We can't do a corporate, but can we do a birthday or something celebratory? Oh, yeah. So I'm curious as we kind of close out this, what do you think, what would you say if someone wants to start a core group, what's one thing that you think is critical that they know, or I don't know if we've covered it, but I want to make sure there's nothing we've missed.
I think just to make sure you're not living in the victim mentality, because I honestly think that's the lie that normally stops us from getting there, is it's too hard. We're too busy. I can't do it. There's nobody around me that wants it like this. But yet we're still complaining internally. So we have to stop complaining and really start cultivating and finding the people. And like Michelle said, there's other ways. You might not be building a core group. I remember I built like brunches where I would just invite like 40 women and maybe 10 showed up and we would do it around like sometimes. Or we did play dates where I found a couple moms that said every Thursday you plan one. We just rotate. So you do it once a month. Like, it's just getting really creative with what you need in your season of life to find people that will end up becoming your people.
I love that. Did we miss any other tips? Did we catch everything?
I can say 20 more things.
I've got about 2 hours more.
Self-control. I know. I think more importantly, I hope that we infused you with courage because adult friendships, the art of adult friendships, are not always easy. And obviously this looks like it's pretty in a bow, but honestly, it is tears. It is, I didn't know what you meant. I'm coming to clean this up. It is, I didn't feel hurt. Yeah. It's be risking. Yeah. And I think relationships are risk. And ultimately, I have one other thought. You know that book, Emotional Healthy Spirituality? Yes. Oh, what's it called?
That's Emotionally it. You said it. Yeah.
I was listening to that yesterday and I thought, if I had to go to a new city, which I'm not thinking about that, but I'm in general thinking I'm not. But if I was going to start and I needed emotionally healthy people, I might take that book and do a book read with a group of girls. Because that to me would set a healthy of like eat something or, you know, something of boundaries or Keep Your Love On by Dani Silk, something that would begin to create healthy conversations and healthy, like you got to create that, right?
Yeah.
So if it were me, that's how I would start. So that we kind of set the bar of healthy spirituality, emotional spirituality.
It's a great book. I like that.
But more importantly, keep risking. If your small group imploded or it's not happening, start again. It's worth it. It's valuable. Yeah. And also your husband can't give you what your friends can give you. Neither can your sister or your mom. You really need other women that are running alongside you. I personally even enjoy women that are in the business world. They're not doing pastoring, but they understand business. They understand what it's like to lead, and I enjoy that as well. But again, if you enjoyed this whole series, you can go back to the beginning of the month, and we've had literally episodes around the art of adult friendship. So go back, listen to it. If nothing else, I'm so glad that you're here, and I hope that this helped you. If you have questions or comments or you liked it, let us know. Leave it in the reviews. Put it in the comments. And any questions you have, we will try to answer, if not on the podcast, on the socials. If nothing else, thanks for being here. Guys, thanks for being here. I appreciate it. And I know, and we'll catch you next time.